City Commission meeting to order. Today being Monday, July 22nd, 11:45. We're good? Any changes to the agenda? Not bad. Look for approval for the consent agenda.
So move.
Second.
I'm sorry. We are moving real quick. Let's go into discussion on that. General Manager Heron, anything that you want to point out on bill payments there?
Not at this time, unless the commissioners have questions. Our capital projects have been highlighted as usual, and there's really no unusual payments there out of the ordinary.
Commissioners, any questions? All right, we have a resolution in second already. Beth, if you could take a roll on that.
Certainly. Commissioner Magnuson?
Aye.
McDonald?
Aye.
Mattern?
Aye.
Babu?
Aye.
Weber?
Aye.
DeBlee?
Aye.
That carries. Thank you. Item number three, we have an update for the Planning Committee meeting minutes for July 17th. Commissioner DeBlee.
Thank you. Planning Committee, first discussion was on some generation update. General Manager Heron opened the discussion with the committee by approving background information regarding the current status of the local generation, including the latest developments. And 2016, the commission indicated that additional local generation was needed to meet the previously established goal to cover 25% of Wilmer's electric load. And in addition, generation which would consist of diverse fuel sources would be a means to provide additional reliability in the event of a catastrophic occurrence. Currently, the utility has the ability to meet 20% of Wilmer's electric load with the existing diesel generators. The question is how much the commission would be willing to pay for the additional 5% reliability. Under the directive of the commission, staff has been exploring additional generation options. John, do you want to go to the PowerPoint, or should I go through all these?
No, we can go there, Commissioner DeBlake.
It's pretty much the PowerPoint will cover the rest of the
pretty much
minutes here.
There we go. Thank you, Mike. We're there. Okay, at the Planning Committee, as Commissioner DeBlake alluded to, staff put together a presentation to update the Planning Committee on the current status of our generation project. First was the overview. Basically, this is just a listing of all the slides and all that's covered or what is covered here in the PowerPoint. So we went into the value of local generation assets, which was pulled from our power supply strategy and scope that was approved by the commission January 25th of 2016, indicating that additional local generation is needed to meet the goal to cover 25% of Wilmer's electrical load and shall consist of a diversified fuel source. Now, that's just one part of the power supply strategy and scope, and that's a piece that we're presently working on now. So 25% is based on the balance between cost and reliability. So with that said, what the commission at that time said, we need to look into it. We'd like to see 25%, but what will it cost us? So that's what we're looking at as we speak here today. Currently, we have 12 megawatts of diesel generation. That's equivalent to about 20%. So the 5% that Commissioner DeBlake alluded to, that's a difference between what we have and what our original vision or goal was for local generation here. And that's using a peak of 62, which has been our peak for the last 3 years. This year, we're setting at a peak about 10 days ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, of about 58. So that's where we are today. Additional generation also provides blackout reliability in the event of catastrophic loss of transmission, provides transmission stability. Local transmission is efficient at peaking loads, and Missouri River has the option to offset the amount of energy purchased on the market by dispatching our generation. Also, since then, Missouri River completed a generation study. They were interested in putting generation here in Wilmer, 26.6 megawatts. However, due to lack of gas availability, that project is not feasible, so that project has been tabled. What we've learned about the diesel generators since our last meeting, back in May 13th, when we proposed or came across five used diesels that we brought forward to the commission for consideration, we learned that the PCA permitting would be about a 14-month process, that we could potentially have to shut down the power plant in order to have the new ones, new diesels permitted, our new generation permitted, and it may trigger additional permitting for existing diesel units. We possibly could end up putting stacks on those as well. City permit by city zoning, additional generation would be allowed beside our power plant here. It would be under a conditional use permit. MISO, behind the meter, the generation would be behind the meter. Missouri River offered to do the study and pay for the study. And they're fairly confident that the MISO interconnection agreement would be given to us. Missouri River also has approved to extend our capacity payments out to 2040. Presently, our capacity payments that we have on our capacity agreements that we have in place go out to 2030. So they would extend them an additional 10 years. Updated costs. The five diesel units still at $3 million. Ziegler has them priced. They still have them available as we speak today. They have not sold them yet. The additional costs you can see listed there brings us for a total estimated cost of about $5.125 million. And that does not include stack costs of the additional or existing diesel units if we were required to add the stacks. So that's on the used units. Price originally we were looking at $4.5 million until we started the permitting process and we discovered that PCA would require the stacks on there plus some other additional costs that we will incur. Also at that time there was an interest in fuel options, diversification basically, so we priced out new units. The smallest dual fuel unit that we can obtain is 10 megawatts basically, so we have a price from Ziegler. This slide here is for a 10 megawatt dual fuel unit, diesel fuel and gas. It will require a building, stack costs there. We're looking at $14.125 million. For that type of arrangement or generation. Wardzilla, we have two different options here. We have a self-contained. CAT does not make a self-contained unit in this size, so it would be a building, but Wardzilla does. However, that cost is at $20 million, $20.93. Wardzilla's standalone unit, if I can refer to it as that, would require us to build a building very close to a CAT option, sitting at about $14 million. Side-by-side comparison, first one, Ziegler, we're looking at $14 million for new. The Wardzilla self-contained, $22 million, and then again, a building for about $14 million. However, at staff level, we have not explored the gas, so if we were to move forward, we'd still have to look into gas availability and what that would cost for us. The used units, again, it's $8.25 million for that. So that's a cost comparison of used to diesels or used to new. When you look at the financial analysis of them, the used diesels, when you zoom in, bottom right corner, RCA contract, if it were to end in 2040, we'd still have stranded costs, if I can refer to them as stranded costs, of $3.6 million. Or if you want to look at it as that would be the cost of an insurance policy per se to have additional generation here for that catastrophic event. So that's what it looks like on the used units. If we go to the new, again, if we focus on the bottom right-hand corner, we're looking at $17.7 million of stranded costs or remaining costs on the new units. So again, that would be the cost, if you want to refer to it as insurance, to have additional generation here. And what's in the formula taken into consideration, both on new and used, is the cost of lost opportunity with our money remaining invested, capacity payments with an inflator in the capacity payments, and annual maintenance, both for new and used units. So that's what the numbers look like. So the Planning Committee discussed the financial considerations. Use, we have $4 million that's been designated as cash. We'd have to reallocate $4.5 million to the project. So they're roughly half the cost of the new just for the initial purchase price of them. New diesels would require financing. Financing would add to the cost of ownership. That's why the dollars changed so much there in the last slide that we had. New or used, RCA expires 2040. Again, a recap of the two financial screens, $3.6 million used, $17.7 for the new. That would be remaining dollars return on our investment. Fulfills, if we were to go forward, either unit, either arrangements, new or used, would fulfill the needs of the 25% local generation goal. If you recall on the earlier slide, we talked, we're at 20 now. So if we add an additional 10, it would bring us to 34% local. And then proposed used diesel generators do not meet the diversified fuel requirements. Again, nor do they have the Tier 4 emissions equipment on them. If we were to move forward, like I said, the location that we're looking at is right to the power plant, just north of the building here. It would be west of the existing power plant. Stacks, if we had five units there, they would look like that middle picture. Those stacks are probably just a little shorter than the 120 we need. We also talked about clustering them. If we could arrange the units so we could cluster them, it would look like the picture on the right side. So the number of stacks put together. That's what the stack design would look like. And the reference point, what does a 120-foot stack look like? The tallest stack in the power plant is sitting at about 130, so we'd be about the same height with a cluster freestanding like we have in these pictures here. So that's what we'd be asking the city with permitting generation, would be asking the city to permit the stacks that are going to be required for those units as well. With that, another important piece to that reliability is transmission. So at staff level, we looked into transmission as well. We felt it was important for the commission to understand the reliability that transmission brings, and that's just another and a different piece to reliability. So with that, Jaron, I'll turn it over to Jaron if the commission don't mind.
Thank you. So we're talking generation, but to help you make an informed decision, we're going to explain transmission as well. Kind of in a perfect world, or what industry standard is for transmission, is that you can lose any one piece of your transmission system and you'll still be able to operate at peak load. And so as we speak today, that's not the case for our system. If we were to be at our peak of that 62 megawatts and we lost, you know, some critical piece of equipment, we could overload the system with our low voltage scenarios and we'd have to respond accordingly. So as we talk about generation, you know, our local generation not only helps us in the blackout catastrophic events, but it also helps us support that transmission system during our peak. The transmission is being looked at in our area and also kind of the Benson area as well, and different ways we can make improvements on this. There's currently a study in progress. Transmission improvements are typically a lengthy process. A lot of people are involved. For reference, the Bryan study work began back in 2010. This is now 2018 when we're actually getting the equipment service for those plans. However, I wanted to keep you in the loop on what's going on out there. So the current plan is being led by GRE. Other participants are MRES, Otterdale, Excel, of course us. What they are hoping to do is right now, our transmission system is served from the southwest, and you know that we have two feeds, one goes to Wilmington, and one goes to Bryan, but they're both from the southwestern direction. This plan will bring feed kind of from the northwest up in the Morris area, and the way they're going to do that is they're actually going to tie a 115 line between Appleton and Benson, and then they will put a 115 to 230 transformer in Wilmington, and that will support kind of the northern transmission feed, as well as allowing the option to feed through Wilmer back to the Benson area. This project, again, is the most probable option to date. And there's nothing set in stone on it, but it is getting good support. We'll increase the load between 24 and 48 megawatts across the area that this affects. Again, it's kind of the Appleton, Benson, Wilmer area. It's going to come at a price tag of around $25 million. Again, these are just budgetary estimates, and that's, you know, for the entire project. We would anticipate WMU share to be between $5 and $10 million. One thing about transmission is there is a revenue off of that. The investment that you make in transmission is offset.
Thank you, Jaron. A little bit, Jaron referenced the Pram substation. Last meeting, the Pram substation has come online. That project, for the most part, is completed. That project is a reference point. It is about $4.5 million. Revenue out of that is going to be, based on estimates, about $600,000 is what revenue will be out of that. So additional transmission revenue will provide relatively close to the same type of revenue. And as Jaron's referencing, the Pram substation for reliability, for system stabilization, that's reduced the need for local generation by about 3 megawatts. So worst case scenario, we would have to run 9 megawatts of our diesel generation if MISO or GRE were to call on us to help stabilize the grid as we speak today. And these investments that Jaron is alluding to would mitigate that need. So that's how the Pram substation ties into what we got going here. So the planning committee, they talked about how important is fuel diversity, at what price point would WMU table the project based on today's rule. Tier 4 standards are not applicable, or if they become applicable, today's cost to add Tier 4 is $300,000 per unit. We have to do it to use units that we purchased as well as the existing diesels that we have. Gas fuel supply for all units could be a concern. It gets back to the diversity. Property zone, district, I-2 general industry, and 2030 state mandate on emission-free energy. If anybody's following Governor Walz, he's pushing hard. Last session he did, he's bringing it up again next session. He would like all fossil fuel generation by 2030. So that could affect generation as well, not just ours, but all generation in the state. And then transmission investments, they strengthen reliability. And do we focus on transmission? So those are additional discussion items that took place at our planning committee here last week. So with that said, next steps. Consideration for full commission review. We're here today. The planning committee wanted to bring the research and the information forward to the commission to weigh in on the commission as a whole, what they would like to see. One option would be to move forward with the used diesels. When we talked about that, we had some discussion about, are the used diesels a good value like they appeared to be on the surface when they were brought to us as an option. When you look at what it's going to cost for us to install them, they do not meet the Tier 4 requirements. For an additional $3, maybe $4 million, you'd have brand new units here instead of 10-year-old models, and the new units would have all the Tier 4 emission standards on them already. So, you know, do you look at used or do you move forward with new if we want to install generation? So then we talked about two is move forward with new dual fuel. Options two would include DGR. We'd have to bring them on board to prepare specs, and then we'd have to go through all the permitting process as well as gas, obtaining gas if we're going to go to dual fuel. Another option that was talked about was tabling generation, monitor and advocate for generation studies, monitor regulation changes, and number four was added at the outcome of our meeting, put generation on the back burner while looking for other opportunities. And that was the recommendation out of the planning committee. So with that, we'll open it up to questions and I'll turn it back over to Commissioner DeBlake.
Yeah, I guess the recommendation of the planning committee was to place the power plant generation capacity. It's kind of put on the back burner, continue to monitor it, see if anything else becomes available that may meet our needs, and look at the transmission possibilities. So that was the recommendation of the planning committee. Item number two, the committee had discussed facility and maintenance. Supervisor brought the planning committee up to speed on the latest developments and updates for site considerations for a future Wilmer Municipal Utilities facility. We discussed this considerably, and in conclusion, it was the consensus of the planning committee to direct staff to continue to partake in discussions with the city regarding the possibility of a government-type campus site. The staff wasn't further directed to identify the Wilmer Utilities site criteria requirements and ensure the needs of the utility are met. With that, there was the committee adjourned at 1:26, and I guess a motion to file these minutes, and we'll see if you want to questions on the, I'll turn it back to you, Justin.
So we do have a motion. Do I have a second on the minutes?
Second.
Motion and a second. One further item of discussion, I guess I'll point out before we move on with that, and then I've got another item as well. But on the facility, I just wanted to reiterate, you know, the city council is making kind of some decisions on what they want to do there. From our perspective, we said as long as the city council is still open to that discussion of a campus-style event or a facility, we would certainly be open to that discussion as well. As it stands, it sounds like the council is pursuing a potential option right now that might go a little different direction, but being that nothing is finalized, we wanted to make sure that we're retaining our side the ability to remain open to that discussion. So there will be more to come on that particular piece. I'll come back to the generation topic because I want to discuss that a little bit further, but we do have a motion and a second on the minutes as presented. Any further questions on the minutes currently? If not, all in favor of those, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Those do carry. So I want to come back to the topic of generation. You know, we've discussed generation over the last year, so we've run into a few different roadblocks in terms of where we want to go with that. And there's been some twists and turns as we've navigated that. And this latest discussion came up when these used generators came into play. We thought maybe there was a bargain there to be had. As was discussed, we further explored that, and maybe they turned out to not quite be what we had anticipated. So, as General Manager Heron pointed out as well, we I thought that once we discovered that information, perhaps we need to take a step back and not pursue those. But at the same time, during the course of our discussion at planning, it was determined that, you know, we don't want to just walk away from the topic altogether, this idea of generation. I think it's important that we keep in mind that there's really two components that we're looking at, the future of generation as well as the backup component within the city. And we do have some backups in place with our current diesels, but we feel that perhaps they're not entirely meeting what we want for sufficiency there, though it's not like we're entirely lacking either. So as a result, we determined that there isn't real urgency on this, but at the same time, we don't want to completely drop the topic. So with that in mind, I would be willing to put forth a motion that says that we do want to pass on the existing generators, but we do want to direct staff to keep an eye out for future options as we move forward when it comes to the topic of generation. And I would offer that as a motion.
Second.
So we have a motion and a second. Any discussion on that particular motion? Or any questions?
As pointed out on the PowerPoint, I think when we initially started talking about these used generators, they kind of look like a pretty good deal. But once you get into it and start doing all the add-ons to bring them up to current standards, that kind of went away. So, and they did not, they were just strictly diesel. They did not meet necessarily the commission's wishes that they be some sort of a dual fuel, either diesel or gas, so that there was one of the other considerations that we looked at or was looked at and discussed when we're looking for additional generation. So, and if we can able to look at transmission and help build the reliability of the overall system with investments in transmission, that also plays into the whole scheme, how we're going to keep Wilmer reliable and our system here reliable. So I guess we're not totally walking away from the, as your motion indicates, it totally walking away from the possibility of generation, but just kind of step back a little bit and take another serious look at it.
I think that well summarizes the spirit of the intent here, and certainly we will continue to look at transmission options as well. Commissioner McDonald.
So I was thinking about these numbers a little more on these diesel units. We'd be in the red, like 3.6 million after 20 years. So that's for that extra 5 or 6%. Well, I mean, it'd be more, but it'd meet that 5 or 6% of generation that we're missing. So that comes out to about $180,000 a year over 20 years. Now, that's not that pricey a tag to put on that insurance policy if we do feel that 5% would be helpful to our community. So, I mean, if you look at the upfront costs of the new versus the old or the used, like those, I mean, the $8 million versus the $14 million isn't that big a difference, but whenever you look at, like, what we would actually be out after 20 years, like $3.6 million versus $17.7 million, that's, like, a huge difference. So maybe these used ones are a better deal than it seems by just those initial comparisons.
Well, there's some good points. You know, a few things that I would comment on that as well. You know, one thing that we have to consider with that projected cost or expense is that does not include if we were to have to take everything to Tier 4. And there's a likelihood that would come into play. So that would increase the cost there. The fact that we wouldn't have that dual fuel redundancy and potentially some additional long-term potential, I think we want to make sure that we're keeping that in the mix as well, that we're keeping track of that.
John, I have one question. Is there a possibility of just buying two of those used units that would put us up over that 25% mark at slightly less? Or
I would have to believe that would be an option, as long as Ziegler is the company that has all five of them. And in fact, I think they have a couple more than five even that were traded in. So I'm sure any combination, as long as they haven't been sold, would be available.
Because then that drops the price down even, you know, like two of them versus five of them, that drops the price way down.
The price of the generators, yes, but we would still be required to do the building and all the other components that go along with that. Is that correct, John?
Some of those prices go down. I mean, you don't have as the stack cost goes down, the building gets smaller. I mean, all the prices go down. I just want to make sure that everybody's aware that for less than $150,000 a year, probably over the next 20 years, we could probably fulfill that 25% goal. I don't know that that 25% goal is, you know, that important. Maybe 20% is good enough, but I just want everybody to maybe weigh in. I'd like to hear from these guys that aren't on the planning committee and their opinions.
Thank you, Brandon McDonald. If Chairman Mannard, if I could probably add to Justin's comments a little bit. If we went with the used units from Ziegler, those would be self-contained. They would not require a building, but they would require the stacks yet. So we'd be looking at the stacks, and we could potentially end up with, through the permitting process, building stacks on our present six units that we have. So that would be added to it. But when you know, use the analogy that Commissioner McDonald had there, when you dilute those costs out, even with the stacks, you know, at what price point does it become, you know, unaffordable? So.
Other commissioner thoughts? Commissioner Magnuson.
Yeah, for myself, I'm not stuck between 20 and 25%. To me, I would be more interested in it because of blackout reliability or the transmission stability. If we didn't think that those were adequate, then I think we should take a look at it. But I don't think we should be looking at just because of the percentages. If we felt we had blackout issues or transmission stability, then I think we should look at it. But I haven't heard that we have those issues right now.
Any other commissioner thoughts?
Well, I, you know, the right now, my understanding is that 20% of, you know, we covered instead of the 25%. So the difference is only 5%. So I think because of the policies and unpredictability of the rules and regulations, it's not going to be a wise to move any further if we own a deficit for 5%. I think it would be good, wise, you know, if we can just keep an eye, but, you know, look at what's ahead rather than spending, you know, tons of money right now. I think we just should look ahead what's coming down the road. But as long as we have that 20% covered, I think the diesels are covering us 25% now as the 5% remaining. I think it shouldn't be any concern at this time, but just watch as you indicate. So that's what I would support.
So you're saying you don't see any need to rush in?
I don't see any rush at this
time. Okay. Commissioner Weber, any thoughts?
I'm interested in finding more about the offset of this 5% with the transmission, and if that's a route that we should look at further. And then just for point of clarification, dual fuel with gas, is it natural gas? I'm not stuck on the 25% reliability or backup either.
I think, to be clear, I think the 25% figure is generally stated as a goal. It's not like once we've achieved that, we've arrived and we're stuck there either. I mean, I think we're setting that as kind of a general goal that we want to be within that range, within reason. And I think all these other factors, of course, play into that, certainly. General Manager Herron, did you want to address anything more on the transmission side?
Sure.
Mr. Weber's point?
Probably two comments I'd like to make here. The 25%, to provide a little history of background on that 25%, how the Planning Committee arrived at that number back in 2014. There was discussion around being able to provide power to a third of the community at a time in the event of a catastrophic event, and our system would be peaking. So if the discussion centered around us, WMU, having 25%, and with all the local generation that was in town, and along with other tools like load management, if we, at that time we didn't have it, but it would be available today, that we would be able to do rolling blackouts for a third of the town at a time and roll through the community in thirds. That's kind of the discussion that was behind the 25% back then. So if we had 25% here plus local generation, would worst case scenario, we'd have to break the town up in thirds and provide power to a third of the town at a time. So transmission, and the piece of transmission, Jaron is working on that part of it. I will turn that over to Jaron maybe to expand on that a little bit more, but it's a lengthy process and transmission build-out will continue, and maybe Jaron, if you can maybe provide a little more detail on the current status of that study that's going on.
Yeah, thanks, John. As you mentioned earlier, at peak load, we're approximately 9 megawatts short of serving our customers requirements. So that means we have low voltage situations and we could have a shed load, or we could do field switching to transfer loads to other utilities. Those are our options in place right now. Obviously, we want the transmission system to just be able to support that. That can be met through our existing diesel generators right now, since it is only that 9 megawatt mark. However, you get a new business in here that increases their load or peak rises, you know, now we're dangerous with the 12 megawatts that we have. Transmission planning, like I said, the option that I discussed, the Appleton Benson 115 line, the Wilmer 230-115 transformer, is the most probable. All the parties involved in the discussions support it. I would expect that would move forward. However, there's, you know, any number of things that could either change or support it. We right now hope to get it into the MISO transmission expansion planning process in the year 2020. Once that's approved, it gets submitted to the Public Utility Commission for approval. So in the 2023 time frame, it's possible we have the ability to start this project.
Thank you, Jaron. You know, one other thing that I'll add in terms of the discussion on generation is we're talking about reliability, redundancy, and backups. Part of the discussion that we had in planning was this idea of dual fuel or fuel diversity. And, you know, if we're looking at a truly backup, redundant situation, we don't know when or why or how that might always be needed. You know, you try and plan for all kinds of events, but you don't know what those events might actually be. And so one of the ideas within dual fuel or fuel diversity is, again, if you're completely reliant on all of your backups to operate off of one particular fuel source, you're once again kind of putting all your eggs in one basket that way as well. So that's another piece of discussion that we had as well. Any other questions or thoughts from the commission?
Yes. I know when the commission arrived at that 25% level, but I know that there's other. If we have a total catastrophic failure of the transmission line coming into the city and we need to rely on our backups, there is other generators in the town, not necessarily that the utilities has, but I think the city has a couple generators out at the waste treatment plant, and the hospital has generation, county has generation, so there is other generators in town that may bring that level up, even though the MUC does not have total control over those, so that just another consideration.
Yeah, it does help reduce the load that we would have to provide throughout the community, mm-hmm. for sure. Any additional final thoughts? Otherwise, we do have a motion and a second. All right, all in favor of the motion as presented, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? And that does carry as well. Thank you for that discussion. I appreciate that. It's an important topic. It's one that we have continued to pursue for some time, and we continue to keep an eye out for. So thank you on that. With that, we'll move on to item number 4, the monthly financial review. General Manager Harrell.
Right, thank you, Commissioner Manner. Denise's absence here, I'll run through our financials for this month. Yellow line, operating revenue, electric department, the first one there, looking at 16.2 million in revenue year to date, slightly under budget, and we're ahead of last year. Expenses, orange line on the mid-page, 11.8 million, budget at 13.4, last year at 12.4. So expenses a little over last year, a little bit under budget. Retained earnings, you can see we're at 3.5, 2.06 is what was budgeted, and last year we were at 1.99. So retained earnings are ahead as well. Water department, almost similar story. We're sitting there, yellow line. 1.4 million year to date, budgeted 1.4 million, last year at 1.2, so a little ahead of last year, and that has to do with our rate increase basically. Expense side, we're at 889,000, budgeted at 994, and last year we were at 890, so very close. Retained earnings, 552,000, per budget should be 444, last year is 338. District heat, again, start with the yellow line on top. Revenues are sitting at 384. We had budgeted 92, not knowing how many customers were going to transition off or how quickly. And last year at 569. On the expense side, again, the orange line, 184,000 on the expenses. We were budgeted at 216, and a year ago we were at 199. Retained earnings sitting at 221,000. Budgeted a deficit of 115, and last year at this time we're at 382, so slightly under last year. All divisions, I don't know if you want me to go through them, but if you like to retain earnings, we're on the bottom, the green line, 4.3 million, and last year budgeted 2.39, and last year at 2.7. So, any questions on our financial reports or our present status?
Right. Good.
Investment portfolio, as you look at that, Denise had mentioned the last two meetings, we're kind of looking at our benchmark, the Barclay, and we're still looking at that. I spoke with Denise on Friday regarding that. And what we have going there at Barclay, that's a benchmark for long-term investments, and we're looking at it at a benchmark more in the 1 to 3 or 3 to 5 year range, if that would be a better reflection of what our portfolio should be doing here, because based on our ability to invest, we got to stay short term and very secure investments, so our returns are somewhat less than the long term investments that we're benchmarking against. So more to come on that once we understand the differences between them and what would be an appropriate benchmark for WMU to use. Any questions? All right, thank you.
Thank you for the update. Number 5 on the agenda, district heating transition update. Ms. Marotsky.
Thank you, Chairman Mannern. We just wanted to give the commissioners an update on where we're at with the decommissioning process of district heat. We've hit that less than 1 year mark now. It's kind of hard to believe we've gone through 2 years already. As you can see, as of now, we have about 122 customers or properties that are still in the district heating system. A lot of the larger ones have come off now, so we have quite a few residential, small business, those kinds of things. And just as the memo says, the update, we've had 3 letters go out yet already in 2019. We also sent a postcard out using translation for Spanish and Somali, giving people the heads up, look in your mailbox for mail from us. You know, sometimes those letters can maybe just get shoved to the bottom of the pile, so we're trying to make people aware of that we are sending them some important information. And each of the letters includes the steps that are needed to be taken, including contacting, you know, if they're switching to gas, they need to contact CenterPoint Energy, if, you know, contacting a general contractor, anything like that. And then we also offer the options that we know of for financial assistance, be it with HRA, UCAP, any of the state programs that are out there. We lay those out and contact information in the letter. And our plan is by this fall, we will be personally reaching out to any of those people that we have not heard from specifically and what their intentions are. So there's just a copy there of the September letter that we intend to send out. So any suggestions on that? We've done a lot more highlighting, red, bold, underlining, a lot more information, kind of drawing that out for people to see.
Thank you, Michelle. Commissioners, any thoughts or input on the information that you see?
So you said you have now about 122 customers left?
Customers or properties. Property. I would say more accurately is properties.
Is it possible, since we have 1 year to go, you know, to send, you know, it's good really this information, send letters, but individuals to visit and just tell them, you know, personally say, this is it, it's going to be done?
Yes, this fall, is that is our intention, to start knocking on some doors.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fine. Thanks.
I think that direct outreach is probably going to be critical in this final stage. I mean, looking at 2 years in and we aren't quite at the halfway point yet.
Right.
We have to speed things up. I know there's maybe a little bit of a misperception from some of the customers out there that this isn't going to actually be a hard cutoff date. So I think if we continue to reiterate that in our messaging and then letting folks know throughout our messaging, whether it's this letter or social media and so forth, that, you know, contractors' schedules are getting full as well. And folks need to be getting a hold of them and start to make plans now. Even if they don't intend to switch this year, they need to start getting in on that scheduling. So.
And we have added it to the website. So on the homepage, it's one of the scrolling bars that lays it out there. And then we have posted on Facebook, too, that, you know, if you know anyone in the downtown area that's on District Heat. And actually, that did generate, I think, someone tagged someone. So it is an effective way.
Yeah, we want to keep that pressure out there. So any other thoughts from commissioners?
One thought, I guess, my recollection, most of these systems out there that are in the homes that we're providing District Heat for, that system also provide hot water, domestic hot water for that residence?
I'm not sure of that, John.
We do, Commissioner DeBlake, we do have a handful of customers that pull hot water from our District Heat system as well, but it's very, very minimal.
That's minimal, okay.
We'll make a note of that, though,
That would take a furnace replacement plus a hot water heater.
Right. Yeah, we'll try to identify those customers before we do personal visits. Make sure we have that information.
Okay.
Thank you. Appreciate that, Michelle. All right, moving on, we have the general manager's report.
Couple items. August 1st, we have a rate study meeting coming up with the Labor Committee. And then on August 7th and 9th, we have two meetings so far that Beth has been able to set up with the City Council to provide our updates on what we have going on here at the Commission. And with that said, I know Carol at the last meeting asked for volunteers. She would like to see one, if not two, commissioners take part in those meetings as well. So if you have time, reach out to Beth. There'll be the two meetings we do have set up at this time. We'll be at 7:30 in the morning. Based on last year, those meetings took about an hour each. Some of them were a little less, some were a little bit more. So if you have time, by all means, reach out to Beth, and we'll probably set up one more, maybe two, depending on their availability. So we're trying to reach all the council members and the mayor. So that'll be coming up. And then we'll also have a budget meeting on August 7th at noon to go through our 2020 budget and our 10-year capital improvement plan with the planning committee. So unless there's other questions, that would conclude my report.
Thank you, John. I'd reiterate the meetings with the council on the 7th and the 9th and potentially one to two more coming up. I would personally request that each one of us commissioners try and attend at least one of those. So if you can look at your schedules and see what might work for you and make sure to reach out to Beth on that would be helpful. I know I've attended those in the past. I find them extremely helpful, I think, both for us and for the city council members. There's a lot of good discussion and questions back and forth, and it's a good engagement process. So with that, anything else to come before the commission today? Not, I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
So move.
We are adjourned. Thank you.